arrival of United Nations contingents at Port Said causes a sensation that nearly develops into a riot by excitable Egyptians.
Of course, I was jumping with joy. When the last British soldier left, we used to say, "Go to hell."
Plans are made for United Nations troops to replace the British and French on the ground. The ceasefire is a humiliating climb down for Eden and his commanders.
I have to say that most of the officers in the regiment took it as a mortal blow. I think it was very, very hard on the professional soldiers who had gone into this enterprise in good faith, thought that this was going to be the final roar of the British Lion, and suddenly found that it was just a sort of mingy little squeak that had achieved nothing.
For the Prime Minister, the pressure of failure is unbearable. With Britain facing a winter fuel crisis because of the closure of the canal, he leaves the country for Jamaica, his health and career crumbling.
Sir Anthony, at the moment of departure, may we ask you how you are feeling?
The main thing I'm feeling is that I'm deeply sorry to have to leave the country at this time.
5 weeks later, he is back, but not for long. Eden never returned to frontline politics, and his reputation never recovered from taking Britain to war in the Middle East under false pretenses. Britain's reputation was equally damaged.
Well, it was a total, utter disaster. And it took us 20 years to recover our rightful position as someone who was not the lord and master in that area, but a friend to those states which had emerged after many centuries when we and the French had ruled the roost.
In Egypt, the Suez Crisis was the making of Nasser.
The 23rd of December, 1956, dawned beautifully. It was the first day after the liberation of Port Said, and the whole city was out to celebrate Victory Day.
At that time, he was, he was God, I have to tell you.
President Nasser is a historic hero.
In the aftermath of the Suez Crisis, Nasser was feted all over the Arab world. Here at last was a leader who could stand up to the West and win.
And the Arabs at that time started to realize that Nasser was the hero who was sent by God to retrieve the Arabs from many years of subordination.
Nasser, in a sense, was a big winner. But it was a win which set him up to be an awfully big loser. Because Nasser eventually came to believe his own propaganda that he had won a great battle.
A little over 10 years later, Nasser decides that he is strong enough to settle old scores with the Israeli invaders of 1956.
In 1967, he said, "Last time we were fighting Israel, Britain and France. We won then. This time, Israel is alone."
It is an appalling misjudgment.
In the Sinai Desert, in the wake of Egypt's catastrophic retreat, lie Nasser's wrecked tanks. The whole world hopes that from great victory and utter defeat, wisdom will emerge and bring lasting peace to this part of the world.
But instead of peace coming to the Middle East, the unresolved issues of the 1967 war, the West Bank and Gaza Strip, still poison the region today. The end of the Suez Crisis was also the moment a new power decided to take center stage in the Middle East. Within weeks of the end of the war, President Eisenhower, convinced that the British and French could no longer be trusted to protect Western interests in the region, announces a fateful change in American policy. He concludes that what the Middle East needs is more American involvement, not less.